Hi, and welcome to the View Church Table View Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives.
Great, we have got three preachers tonight. We got Jack, we got Cameron, we got Dieter. So they got 10 minutes. So are we ready giving them a 10-minute countdown, each one? If you see they go over 10 minutes, if you sense that, you can start to boo them or just start to go. You know what? When I grew up preaching and seeing Graham. Graham used to coach us like this. When you went over time, Graham would walk to the back, just go to the back of the term, and just walk and nobody could see him. So if you want to do that, you can also do that. I remember that. But you know what? I must admit, that was normally for Jason Render, never for me. Because Jason Render would preach 60-minute sermons. Anyway, so that was normally for Jason. But I used to watch it, and I used to love it. Because I was feeling that same thing inside, but you expressed it. So there was a unity between us as he went on and on. But let's see, I'm bad, yeah. Let's welcome up Jack. Jack's our first one. Let's welcome him up. Come on.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, man.
6 p.m., what's good?
Yay. Oh, man. I was looking at some old people in this house. Not old people, sorry. Not old people. I mean, matured people in this house when we were doing... No. If I want to go home tonight and sleep, I'm not going to say old. Otherwise, Uncle Graham's going to like, you can sleep outside, boy. Which is very possible. When we were doing that dance, they were like, what's going on here? You know, people, you know, manifesting in the presence. What's happening? For those who don't know that dance, it's 2018. And the youth is changing. 15-year-old people look 18. 21 like me look 40, which is cool. I'm okay. Let's close our eyes and pray. I only got 10 minutes. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here this afternoon, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you bring this word to your people, Lord, as you please. Lord, I pray that you use me at your discretion. Not for my benefits, but for your kingdom's benefit, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, that whoever that you need to speak to, Father God, tonight, Lord Jesus, is here, Father God. And I pray that you speak to them, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Come on. So we're going to read from Genesis 1, verse 1 to 4. And it reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. I'm going to be speaking from this scripture tonight. And a little background on this scripture. It really shows on how powerful God is. And really shows what he can do in creation. That God does not depend on evolutionary process to bring present forms of life into existence. But God spoke a word, and what he spoke came to pass. And it was the power that he spoke. And then in chapter 26, says, then God created man in his own image and in his likeness. And I love this scripture so much because the first one says, God said, let there be light. There was a power. There was a spoken word. So it was a spoken word that brought things into existence. And 26 says, then let's make man in my image, in my likeness. And Romans 6 verse 10 says, the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the same power that lives within me. Within you. And so tonight I'm really just going to focus on verse 3 of Genesis 1, verse 1 to 4. And what it speaks about, it pretty much speaks about the power of spoken word. So tonight I just want to speak on the power of spoken word. And just focusing on that, it said, God said, let there be light. And the light showed up. It was a spoken word that brought things into existence. God spoke a word and everything that was responsible for light became possible and took place. It was the power of spoken word. And if we look at this text very, very carefully, it's very intentional because it's direct, it's clear. It says, God said. It doesn't say God picked up his iPhone and called Eskom, hey, why is it low shading? It said, God said. It wasn't an action. It wasn't a physical action. It was a word that was spoken. And there is power in the word of God. There is power. It was a word that was spoken, and the spoken word was spoken, and things became existing. And the reason why I'm speaking on the power of spoken word from this scripture is because I really want us to find a rhythm of a spoken word that has power, that has authority, that stands on its own, and that's scripture. This book here is powerful, stand on its own. It doesn't need you. It doesn't need me. It doesn't return void. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It sets us free. It sorts out our offenses. It puts us straight with God and keeps us righteous. It's this book. And there is power in this book. And just something I thought we could really relate to is when we look at our lives, a lot of times, you know, we're going through circumstances or we're going through issues and tough seasons. A lot of times when we go through things like that, we try and do things in our own hands. We try and fix it. We try and put wires and fuses together so that our lives can have a bit of light. We try and do things in the physical. But sometimes we don't need to do things in the physical. Sometimes we just need to speak the power and the authority of God's word. We just need to speak the power of God's word. Because Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we don't fight against the flesh, but we fight against the principalities of the dark world. We don't fight against the flesh. Our battle is not in the flesh, but against the spiritual spiritual of the dark world. The question I want to ask you tonight is, how do you fight your battles? How do you fight your battles? Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, the tongue has the power to speak life and death. Your spoken word can either break you or make you. The tongue has the power to speak life and death. And most of the times when we're going through situations and we have issues in our lives, you know what has 90% or even more chances of changing the situation is the words on our tongue. Is the words that we speak. Because the Bible clearly says that the tongue can speak life and death. And I want to encourage you guys tonight, why don't you begin to speak life? When you sing, we speak life in the name of Jesus. Begin to speak life, because I promise you, the word of God has an authority, has a power, and can change any circumstance in your life or whatever that you're going through. When you begin to declare it and say it is what it is and what God has made it to be, there is power in spoken word. A quick testimony about just on how I went through a season of time where. And a happy Father's Day to all the fathers, by the way. I went through a season when my dad passed away. And I was in, I think, grade 11, and I was writing exams. And that was a very tough time for me, because I became very depressed. I became very stressed. I became isolated. And I would try to do everything in my own power. And try to fix my issues, try to fix my problems in my own power. And it didn't work. But I'm glad that I stand here today, because I know there's people out here who poured out scripture into my life, who spoke authority and power over my life, that I'm standing here tonight and I'm speaking to you guys. This is not a joke. I'm a walking testimony tonight. I am a walking testimony. People like my mom, people like Uncle Graham, Pastor Andre, people like Gosh Grant, all these people that you guys see has spoken into my life when I went through a situation where I thought it was just formless, dark, and was void, and there was nothing else for me to do but the power of scripture. And I really don't know how your spoken word was when you walked in this afternoon. I don't know how your spoken word was when you walked in this morning at church. But I really want to give you something that you can really walk away with hope, with power and authority. And this is all scripture. It says, I am a new creature in Christ. I am dead to the power of sin. I now have a new life because of Jesus Christ our Lord. I am living this new life for God. I am a child of God, a joint heir with Christ, and I will receive everything he has promised me. I share with Christ all things God has given to him. I share in his suffering in order that I may share in his glory. I am more than a conqueror in him who loves me. I am a doer of the word and blessed by my actions. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my mouth. I am part of his divine nature. I am part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people bought with the price. I am the righteousness of God. I am greatly loved by God. I am strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound of mind. Come on. I am forgiven all of my sins and washed in the blood. It is not I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am complete in him who loves me and is the head of all principle and power. I am alive with Christ. I am free from the law of sin and death. I am secure under a government that is just and fair. Oppression, terror, fear will not come near me. I will live in peace. I am born of God, and the evil one does not touch me, in Jesus' name. I am holy and blameless in his sight. I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I have the Spirit of God living in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I have a spiritual wisdom and insight to grow in my knowledge of God. I receive the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, to see them recover, to speak in tongues. I have the power over the power of all enemies, and nothing shall by any means harm me. I've stripped off my old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. I have put on my nature as I learn to know my Creator. I become like him and I am renewed. I have no lack, for God supplies all of my needs according to his riches glory through Christ Jesus. I quench all the fiery doubts of the wicked ones with the shield of faith. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I show others the goodness of God, for he called me out of the darkness into his wonderful light. I am a child of God, for I am born again of the incorrupted seed of the word of the word of God. Which lives and abides forever. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works. I am raised up with Christ, seated in heavenly places. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am not my own. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am firmly rooted, built up, established in my faith, overflowing with gratitude. I am who God says I am. And that's the spoken word that everyone should have. The word of God is powerful, can change your circumstances, and can change whatever you're going through. Amen.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Happy Father's Day to all the daddies in the auditorium. Before we get into the message, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, please just remove me from this message. May your word that never returns void land on a fertile soil tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So we all know the proverbial saying, the man should lead his home. But this message right now that I'm giving is not only for the fathers of the house, but it's for everyone. I want us to pay attention to the fact that we should not rely on ourselves, on people around us, our own efforts, but we should rely on God to lead our lives. A God who is sovereign, he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, and he's immutable. He's never changing. He's everlasting. How many of us are struggling with anxiety? Worry about our future? Plans, have we prepped? Have we planned enough? How's a job interview going to go? You know, we anxiety is on, am I too old to do this? Am I too young? What's my next move? We've all gone through these seasons. They may seem dry. They may seem weary. We're unsure. However, I want to encourage you that God has a plan for you. He wants to lead you. Allow him to. So we're going to look at Joseph. Not the technicolor coat Joseph, but Joseph the carpenter. The man who I believe is one of the greatest teachers in the Bible. Yet not one word that came from his mouth is recorded in Scripture. So how is this possible? We're going to go through Matthew chapter 2. But before we get in there, I'm going to get the context in Matthew chapter 1 so we can actually discuss in Matthew chapter 2. So everyone knows the story about how Jesus was born. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. This means that she was 98% married to him already. All right. Mary called Joseph aside and said to him, I know that I was meant to be a virgin. We're going to get married. However, I am pregnant. I can't imagine the disappointment, the betrayal, the sadness that must have come over Joseph when he heard that his wife-to-be is pregnant. However, Jewish law said that he, by every right, is allowed to stone her. The custom of the day said it's right. The people in his town said it's right. However, verse 19 says that he was a good and righteous man. He decided not to take the matter out publicly, but to sort it out privately. He took her aside, and that already shows us the character of Joseph. Then we see later on in the chapter that the Holy Spirit came to him in a dream and told him not to leave Mary, but to marry her, because the Holy Spirit born the baby inside of her. So now we get the character behind Joseph. But do we believe that that was the main reason why he was the father of the Jesus, the Messiah, the Word made flesh, God incarnate? I believe it's a great, great reason, but there's something more which we find out in Matthew chapter 2. So I'm going to read. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the reign of King Herod. About this time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where's the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be shepherd for my people." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star was first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go to worship him too." After the interview with the wise men, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, chests, gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt, and the child with his mother." The angel said, "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child, Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord spoke to the prophets, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise man's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what the God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping a great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus, his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophet said, "He'd be called a Nazarene." So here we see a King Herod, an evil man, ready to take the honor and the blessing that was given to Joseph and Mary, and in fact, given to all of us. He wished to kill Jesus for who he was prophesied to be. Isn't it strange that whenever we have a gifting, or that we're thriving, or we're prospering, or we're doing things that seem to get us going forward, something comes and disturbs us. Something comes and shakes our ship. It may not be dressed as a king, may not have a crown and call himself Herod, but it's there. Could be the people around us, the environment we're in, and more often than not, it's the silly decisions that we make that prolongs or even loses our blessing. So what did Joseph do in order to counteract this? What did he do to maintain the blessing that was given to him? Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 and 15 reads, "After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt, the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken to the prophet, 'I call my son under Egypt.'" So the very first thing we see here is that Joseph let the Lord guide his steps. Verse 13 reads, "After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee." Now, the angel appeared to him. How many of us are wanting to be prosperous? How many of us want God to bless what we're doing? How many of us want to feel his tangible presence, yet we're not opening ourselves up to him? We're not allowing access into our lives. You see, the angel had to communicate with Joseph. When we spend time in the Word, when we have quiet times with God, we allow ourselves to have a relationship with him. We can only hear him when we listen to him. Second thing we see what Joseph does in verse 14. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with a child and mother and his mother and Mary, his mother. It says that night he left. He didn't wait till the morning. He didn't wait the week after when he felt it was all right or he felt called to go. He said he left immediately. That immediate obedience is what we need to pay attention to. The immediate obedience to the will of God. If we do not act in immediate obedience, we could prolong or miss our blessing. It took the Israelites 40 years to do an 11-day journey, as it says in Deuteronomy 1 verse 1. 11-day journey, 40 years, because they weren't obedient to the will of God. Third point I want to illustrate. Verse 19 to 20 says, "When Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Get up,' the angel said, 'take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead.'" So the angel appeared to Joseph again. Joseph did not move until he heard the call of God. He stayed in that season. Some of us, we feel that we don't like the people around us. We don't like the environment we're in, the workplace we're in. Or even majority of us, we don't like the country we're in right now, so we're going to leave. However, God has placed you right now where you need to be, where your gift is going to flourish the most. He's plugged you into a source where you're going to shine the brightest. God is sovereign. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He knows all things. He is sovereign. He knows what's best for you. So as I close, I want to encourage you with three things. Who are we allowing to lead our lives? Is it people we watch on TV? Is it people that are around us? Or is God leading us? Secondly, where do we place them as a priority? We see in Scripture tells us that as Joseph was told to go, he went. He acted in immediate obedience. Are we acting immediately when God speaks to us? And finally, how long do we stay in this season? Do we move because of our willpower or because of our decisions or because we're operating for ourselves and making the own decision to move? Or are we allowing God to lead us? Thank you.
How's that rain? Hey, how's that rain? Thank you, Jesus. Is it on? On? Can you hear me? Everyone hear me? Yeah, somebody said to me, "I'll bring as many toys to preach as much as Pastor Graham." So apparently I'm competing with Pastor Graham at the moment. So, guys, I'm going to quickly open up in prayer. We don't have much time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that this is an honor, Lord. You know my heart, Father God, and you know that everything that comes from you, Father God, I want it to be spirit-driven, Father God, that it honors you, Father God, in all ways. We thank you for this evening, and we praise you for the rain, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Evening, guys. We're going to be talking out of Psalms 127. I know Andre preached this morning out of Psalms 127. He covered the first parts of it. I'm going to be preaching from verses 3 to 5. So if you want to follow along in the Bible, you can. Or we can get that scripture up there. All right. So it says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like an arrow in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." I love that scripture. I don't know if anybody else, because who's heard the scripture before? As many dads, it's Father's Day. I thought it was very appropriate to preach this scripture because a lot of us liken this scripture to our children being arrows. And you know, if I had to preach on our children being arrows, I'd talk about how their shaft needs to be straight and how we need to make the arrow move in the right direction, that you may have different arrows, but it doesn't matter. It ends for one direction. But that's if I had to preach on our children being arrows. Because there's an important part of that scripture that only hit me a few days ago when I was going over. Can we bring it up there? It actually said that, can we go back? Ah, there we go. It says, I'd like you to read the first letter of verse 4 for me. Like an arrow. You see, I think what King Solomon's trying to do is he's trying to draw the attention of what an arrow, the importance of an arrow in the hands of a warrior, what can happen. But I want to talk about the warrior. You see, because a warrior knows how, I was going to use the word pull the bow in the terminology, but it's not a very nice word. So you do it with a gun as well. So it's a terrible word. So I wouldn't. It starts with a C and it ends with a K, and it's like you okay. So you get the point. So you get the string. I've got great terminology here. The string onto the nock of the arrow, and you pull it. Now, this is what a warrior does. He aims and he moves with the targets. But you know what God was pushing me to say? He was convicting me, saying, Dieter, you know, you read this and you see yourself, your children as the arrow. You see me as the target. You see yourself as a warrior. And then you do this. You see, a weapon in the hands of somebody who doesn't know how to use it is useless. We get to a point in life. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to this point recently as well. I get overloaded with work and with church and with family and kids. And I just feel like life kind of gets too much. And you start asking questions like, God, have you really chosen the right person to do this? Can you do this? So long story short, I find myself in a space that I read a book. It wasn't a Christian book. It was called About Responsibility Trap. Anyone ever read that book? Okay, so this book goes on to tell you about how if you take on too many things, you can find yourself trapped, and how you need to get rid of things and think like minimalistic in the way that you do that. So I thought there must be something in the scriptures. So God must have put something in the Bible. So I go study the word, read the word, reading the word. And I'm researching, and I'm on Bible.org, and I'm trying to find where it actually talks about responsibility. I mean, surely somebody must have preached on responsibility trap. And you know what I found? It's very interesting. Nothing. It doesn't exist, guys. Do you know why? You know what I did find? Is that God talks about a burden and a blessing. And he says, I give you blessings, but sometimes you see the burden in it. I give you an arrow, like an arrow in the hands of a warrior. And sometimes we can see the burden of raising kids rather than seeing the blessing. And you know why they feel so hectic at times? Because they both weigh exactly the same amount. They're both heavy. They're heavy with responsibility. But the one, the burden, is heavy with response and my ability. But the blessing is heavy with God's response and God's ability. You see, the deal is we got to realize how to fight our wars. We got to realize how to get into the battle. So if we want to be warriors and put our children like arrows in the hands of a warrior and point them towards the direction of God, we got to know what we got to do. We got to equip ourselves as warriors. We can't stand still. Do you know why? Because do you know which direction the warrior is going when he fires his arrow? In the same direction as the arrow. If we want to shoot our kids in the direction of God, we need to be moving in the same direction as that arrow. I haven't even opened my notes yet. I can't believe I just did that. Hey, it's flying. What I wanted to do is just sometimes we can get stuck in our lives, in our heaviness of life, and our burdens start to feel like we've lost a blessing. But I want to tell you, the Word of God says that it is all blessing. The burden only exists to you. So the question is, are you a warrior? I want to ask you tonight. Because we need more warriors behind God's blessings. You know, he says children are a heritage from God. Us take that as a huge honor. You know that scripture is trying to tell you? Your kids never belong to you. They're a heritage from him. They come from him. They will return to him. We just blessed with the honor of raising them. So we need to make sure that we equip ourselves. And what I like about that is, I want to just quickly point out some characteristics of a warrior. A warrior fights with purpose. I don't know about you, but the scripture says, seek first the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Seek him first. What did Jesus say was the most important command? Important command. Seek first the Lord. The second thing is, he prepares. A warrior constantly prepares. He never stops preparing. He doesn't have to wait for a battle to start preparing. He's always preparing because he works it out all the time. Another characteristic of a warrior is his attitude. I don't know about you, but I've naturally a fighter. Just I've grown up that way. I've never ever backed down from a fight, although God's really humbled me over time. But if it's a good fight and we can get into a ring, that's fun, okay? But fighting is a good trait because God's given me that trait. But God says, what are you fighting? It's not this fighting. God wants us to fight for our families in the right way with the right attitude. He wants me to look Satan straight in the face and say, is that all you got? Because I'm going to keep coming at you. The other thing is, so we want to talk about the importance. So that's the characteristics of a warrior. But a warrior needs a weapon, right? A warrior needs to make sure that he's got a weapon. So I want to just quickly point you to two scriptures, Ephesians 6:17. And you can read it with me, everybody. And it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the... Amen. Can we move to the next one? This is one of my favorite scriptures ever. It's Hebrews 4 verse 12. And it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged... It penetrates even the dividing soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. Do you know where the scripture comes from? Everyone seems to think that in the armor of God that the Israelites fought with big swords. They didn't. They had small swords that were about this big. And they were so sharp. Do you know why they had small swords? Do you know why? Because they were close combat warriors. They knew the battle was in front of them. They knew the battle was coming today. They ran into battle. They didn't fight you from a distance. They actually stood up close, and that's what the Mashara was for. It was a double-edged sword, ready for battle, saying, I'm not going to pray for the battle in 10 years. The battle is today. Tomorrow morning when you get out of bed, be prepared that Satan goes around like a roaring lion, and the battle will approach you. Every day you will face a battle. So the deal is, we need to be prepared. Can I have the worship team up? So I want to get to this. The Mashara is a short sword. Combat happens and it's close. When you realize, guys, when you wake up in the morning, what do you do? What do you do? Because I'm going to tell you something that's a truth. 10% of life happens to you. The taxi driver will cut you off. The child in the shopping center, when he decides to go to the bathroom in his pants, he goes to the bathroom in his pants. Life is going to happen to you. 90% is how you choose to react. How do you know how to react? We read the Word of God. We focus on God's truth. If we become a people, a church, a country, a world that wakes up reading the truth every single morning, then we will move forward. I want to quickly give you an analogy. This is what happens. I speak to people. I say, you're going through a hard time. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't feel God. It's just like the battles are almost overwhelming me. So the first thing I ask them is, how's your prayer time and how's your word reading going? How many of us read our word honestly, show of hands, every morning, diligently? We got 50% of the room. Can I tell you something about that Mashara? Is that the battle's close. You know what this is? It's a Nerf gun. Every parent to a son will have one in your home, maybe a few. You'll probably have a few of these things lying around your house too. They're like sitting in the toilet bowl and they're everywhere. But I want to just give you this analogy. So I don't read my word. I wake up and I go out to work. Something happens. Life happens. I get into a car accident. I feel like, oh Lord, I need you in this moment. But there's nothing. There's empty. It's this. Lord, I really need you right now. But I don't know, why is God not speaking? Because you're shooting blanks in the battle. You see, if we woke up every morning and we know the battle's now, the battle's happening today. Jesus had this. I'll paint an analogy very quickly. I don't have much time. But in Matthew 4, amazing scripture, the Spirit sends Jesus into the desert to be tested. And only three recorded occasions where the devil actually approaches Jesus and comes at Jesus with something. He says, oh, you're hungry? Here's some rocks. Turn it into bread. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. But you know what he starts everything that he approaches with? He goes, it is written. Every time you read your word in the morning, it is written. The battles can come at you, they can face you, but every time you bring them on, you say, you can bring it, I'll just keep bringing more, because I know the Lord my God, and I read my word, and this word is truth, and I can stand on it, because John 1 verse 1 says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was there in the beginning, and that we could stand firm on the word, that when the battle comes, I could say, it is written. Church, I want us just to stand for a moment quickly. I don't know about you. I don't know what battles you're facing. But I want to encourage you. This is a simple tip. Read your Bible. Get into the Word. Get into Growth Track. Get into a view group. Learn the Word of God. It is the truth. I've watched my wife move from a rock star. Wives are rock stars. Hey, dads. Yeah, you better say that. Otherwise, you're going to get it just like the time you took a Tupperware to work and never brought it back, eh? Wives are rock stars, and I've watched my wife challenge me this week. And she's literally, we've been needing to make a big decision. And she's saying, what are you doing? Why are you procrastinating? And I'm like, oh, look, it's a responsibility. And she's like, step out in faith, man. Come on. But I've watched my wife move from this sort of rocking to this sort of rocking, to this sort of rocking, to this sort of rocking. I've got a wife that's got my back. Your wife has your back. Stop looking around. Know that she's got your back. And wives, your husband's got your back. But in the battle, do you know what this means? It means it ain't done yet. God is not finished with what's about to happen. And you know what? If we get fathers that say, is that all you got? Because it is written. We need to build a church on it is written. We need to focus on God. Now, we wouldn't be a warrior if we wouldn't do a war cry. I want to give God honor and praise today for He is. And I'm in a moment going to ask you to let everything that you have out. But I want you to say, Lord, I really want to focus on this. I want it to come from the very, I wanted everything that's bugging you coming out right now in a war cry. And I want it to be Jesus. One word. Jack spoke. He said, everything that's spoken, it's a spoken word. We speak it into existence. But you know what you need for the battle? Just one word. It's Jesus. That's all you need, Jesus. So I'm going to count to three. And in a moment, I want you to, from the bottom of your stomach, bring everything out and just praise Jesus for what He's got. And your battles will start to crumble because you will equip yourself in the battle. One, two,
three, Jesus!
Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Church, I want you to know that your battle's already won when you enter it with the right weapon. You have the weapon, the victory is Christ, and that we can stand firm on that. What comes against you is nothing when you're prepared for it. God wants you to move in the same way as your arrow, into battle, through the battle. He'll work on you, in you, and through you. With every head, can I ask everyone just close your eyes for a moment? This is a very intimate moment. I want to pray for anybody that's going through a moment that feels like their battle, they're in a battle and they can't get through that battle, and you would like prayer. I'd like you to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Is anybody here? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down once you've raised it. Thank you. The second group of people I want to talk to, and I want to be specific about this. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are missing out on an amazing, wonderful life that is not captive, but free, like a wide open space. And you want to walk through that door. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. There's three things that I want you to focus on. One is we need to realize that we are sinners and we need to ask God for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess with our sins, He is faithful and will give us this, give us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Two is we need to believe that He is the Son of God, that Jesus died and paid for our sins, and that He rose again from the dead, and that He is alive. We need to believe that Jesus is our King, seated on the throne of all highest authority. And three, we need to accept God's free gift of salvation. You cannot earn this gift. You have to receive this gift. You just got to accept it. It says, easy accepted. Ephesians 2, 8-9 says, for it is by grace you are saved, through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. I want to lead you in a prayer in a moment now. But I want you, if this is you and you really want to accept Jesus, and He's saying, no, those battles, I need them to crumble. And I want to offer you something that's more powerful than any nuclear weapon could ever be. I need you to raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus Christ. It's probably one of the best decisions you will ever make in your hand. You may raise your hand. Anybody here? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I don't want to miss this opportunity. This is the reason we preach. This is the reason we teach. This is the reason we come to church. It's for you. So if something's saying don't do it, and you feel something saying just put your hand up, I don't know why, put your hand up. That's a spirit talking to you. It wants you to move on. It wants you to take the next step. If there's anybody else here, I don't want to miss out on anybody tonight. All right, you put your hands down. You can say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask for forgiveness, Lord. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that I find forgiveness in You. I know that You are the Son of God, that You died and rose again on the third day, and my victory is in You. I believe in You as my Savior. I want you just to also just say that as we pray out, just say, I accept Your gift of salvation. And I will change my life to serve You for the rest of my days. And all God's people said, amen. Can we give God a shout? Let's just give a round of applause for those hands that went up for the first time to meet Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. And we give Him all the glory.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.